move to the subject of the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report now. This is a subject a lot of you have heard about, a lot of you understand, and many of you have no idea what we're talking about. And I think it's important that you understand there has been a gentleman named Walter Burian who has been working for the longest time to prove that states really do have the money to pay their bills. In other words, they're keeping two sets of books. Now, it's not that simple. It is really complex, and that's why we're going to devote 2 hours to this. But Walter Burian, who has probably done the most work and is noted for the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, go to the website, CAFR1.org, and please stay with us on that. He's got incredible information there. So, Walter, thank you so much for joining us on the Power Hour today.
Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, it sounds pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for joining us today, and thank you for all the work that you've done in the past. Because now, when did you start working on all of this?
Well, I started with a national disclosure on June 28th of 1998. And the first radio show was with Tom Valentine on Radio Free America.
Wow.
And in about a three-month period after that point, I did about 135 radio programs, reached probably 10, 15 million people in the first 3 months. And cracked the ice and blew the lid off the biggest game in town, little bit by little bit.
The biggest game in town or the biggest scam in town?
I'll call it the biggest game. You have a bunch of attorneys networking between each other, passing their own laws and statutes to let them do exactly what they are doing, with the public sitting there scratching their head saying, there's something wrong here, but I just can't figure it out. And yeah, it's all due to the money involved, period. Nothing more, nothing less. And government has always been where the money was. And the syndicate boys back in the 40s, 44, 43, 45, they started creating the structure to turn government into an administrative clearinghouse for revenue collection and profit. As the public was masterfully entertained day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, to allow them to build up their corporate structure for takeover, conquest, and ownership. You know, the I chuckle when I hear people looking at whether they're congressmen, senators, or government saying, oh, they're so dumb, they don't know what they're doing. Yeah, right. They're running a multi-trillion dollar organized syndicate with a best psychologists, market strategists, bringing in the phenomenal income, and people sit there calling them stupid. No, the public,
right,
the public is the one being played, you know, for stupid idiots. As these guys build up their empires, continue to increase their income, and effectively strip everyone down to nothing.
Well, and, what was it? What was it that alerted you? The fact that there was something going on here financially beneath the surface that we were not aware of.
Well, this was back in probably 1990 in New Jersey, when I was in New Jersey. There was a, I was being entertained just like everybody else up until that point, and we all have this illusion of what we think government is. And keep in mind, like I said, they are bringing in trillions of dollars, and they have the best psychologists, market strategists. They can play us back and forth to the nth degree due to the money involved. And they give one impression of what government is, which is designed to keep everybody sitting back saying, oh, okay, and not make any changes, or if they try to make changes, not to be effective in making the changes. Due to the money involved, I'll repeat that over and over again. But I came across what is called the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. Back in New Jersey in 1990, there was a governor who got elected on a no new tax platform. And as soon as he gets into office, this was Jim Florio, $2.8 billion tax increase, the largest in the state's history in one shot. Well, two DJs, John and Ken, who ran 101.5 FM, as DJs, and they started rabble-rousing, taking examples from listeners on examples of waste and spending within government. And I was listening on the first couple of days, and I heard people calling in with examples, $5,000, $15,000, highest figure I heard was $85,000. And, you know, I pulled out the budget report, which is what I was familiar with at the time, which had about $11 billion off on budget, $6 billion off budget, total $17 billion, showed net available $25.6 billion. And I called into the show reading off those figures saying, come on, guys, you're missing the whole point. The state's dealing with billions of dollars. If fraud and waste and misspending is taking place, it's taking place on tens of tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions. The highest figure I heard was $85,000. The DJ challenged us to start an organization to repeal the tax increase. 10 of us got together. I incorporated a group called Hands Across New Jersey. And with the help of John and Ken rabble-rousing around the clock, we had 63,000 volunteers in 3 months. Organized all 21 counties. And our first rally, in fact, which was about 2 weeks out from when we started, we had 115,000 cars converge on Trenton for a rally, effectively shutting the city down in one big traffic jam. And, you know, the bottom line was the local government boys thought that it would be just a big hoopla event, hands across New Jersey, a bunch of people getting together not knowing what they're doing, and diffuse all the hostility and everything would, you know, disappear. Well, that was until their worst nightmare came along, which was, you know, Walter, who... Both parents were administrators within government. My father was director of personnel department at Treasury for about 4 years. And I knew the inside operations of government, and I came across the comprehensive annual financial report. And I was a commodity trading advisor for many years, and I knew big numbers. I knew the attitudes of the boys. And when I looked at the comprehensive annual financial report, yeah, I called up John and Ken, said, I got the holy grail of accounting right here, John. Let's go live on the air. As well, let's take a look at it. Came down to the station and showed them the book. They looked at it and they said, yep, shows the bottom line numbers. For 45 minutes, went on the air reading out the bottom line analogies. Well, that was the last live interview that 101.5 did. You know, no more fun and games. I just, you know, stumbled upon their holy grail of accounting, which showed government was acting... had set itself up under a structure of organized crime. They had taken over and were in the process of taking over everything, the equities market, the insurance companies, the banks, the whole nine yards, through investments.
Well, we've got a four-minute break. We're going to come back with Walter Burian. We're talking about the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, CAFR.com. Click on today's guest. It'll take you right there. You need a pencil and paper. I think you need to be taking notes on this one.
CAFR1.
You live in a state, you need to find out your own back and forth. But then they've got all the money in the world, right? Well, except for California. Oh, well, they're going to let 22,000 prisoners loose in California, and that'll take care of their financial problem there. What are they thinking? Our guest today is Walter Burian. He is the one person who has stayed after the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report and exposing the syndicate of the government for what they're doing. Walter, go ahead with your story as to your learning about the CAFR, and then we're going to get into what it means, but,
I think it's interesting how you came upon this information. Being that you mentioned California, though, quickly, California on State Government Inc., they have probably 8,000-9,000 separate little specialty investment funds, a lot of them being non-critical, I mean amounting into the hundreds of billions of dollars. The if you took all of the shortfalls on the essential life, you know, essential type budgetary items, and took a look at all of the non-essential, and then said what percentage of the non-essential would satisfy the essential, it would probably be only a factor of about 1.5% withdrawal from the balances of the non-essential to meet all the shortfalls on the essential. But the whole game is playing the population, and they continue to do so. But going back into approximately 1944, 45, 46, after World War II, the large corporate syndicates, knowing that government was where the money was, they had to get control over the operations of government and the direction of government. They did so by starting private associations to come in as consults to government and to direct government. Now, in the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, or CAFR, known for short, in 1946, a group was established called GFOA, Government Financial Officers Association. Nice-sounding government acronym, but 100% private association. They started pitching the Comprehensive Annual Financial Reporting accounting structure, which was primarily the same as any public corporation or private corporation's accounting structure. And effectively for government, they said, well, you're a cash-and-carry type operation, you're bringing in tax revenue, spending tax revenue. If you go on the Comprehensive Annual Financial Reporting accounting structure, you can still keep your budgetary basis, but now you start going into the investment arena, you start going into the enterprise operations, tollways, bridges, you know, government enterprise operations, where money starts building up. You can keep that separate from the budgetary basis. So, as time progressed, government went from having 100% of their income being primarily tax income to, come 2000, only one-third of the gross income was tax income. Two-thirds of the gross income was return on investment funds, enterprise and venture projects. And the public didn't have a clue because they were constantly looking over budget reports, which showed where the tax income was brought in and spent, but never told about or looked at the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. And over the years, the decades, as the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report accounting grew, government, in its collective totals, which there is currently now about 136,000 separate corporations within government. Every city is a corporation, county is a corporation, state is a corporation, school district is a corporation, state university is a corporation, community college is a corporation, you know, tollways, corporations, or they even have financial enterprise operations, which are handling the investments that are all separate corporations, each with their own investments, each with their own assets, each with their own structure. When you take the collective totals of all the just local governments, forget about federal right now, just local governments, the combined wealth of local governments dwarfs the private sector. In other words, Russia's dream of the 40s was accomplished through application of U.S. government today. Complete ownership, control, and manipulation of the population under one centralized government, through the collective totals.
Okay, we got a three-minute break. We're going to come back with Walter Burian. I apologize for the connection, ladies and gentlemen. We just got to deal with it because we want to hear what this man has to say. What does all of this mean, and where is this going to bring us to, and why is it important for you to know what's going on in your own state? How are they getting away with it? We'll be right back with Walter Burian after this three-minute break. Stay tuned to The Power. Walter, you found out about this whole report. You started dissecting it, but it's got to be quite complex. Is your background in as an auditor or in accounting?
No. I was a commodity trading advisor. I was one of the tenants of the World Trade Center. One World Trade Center. Did an international news line coast-to-coast on commodities. One of the first all-satellite quote systems called Radio Data Systems Market Monitor. And traded for about two or three different houses. I was known as being extremely sharp on calling exact highs and lows and the movements back and forth in the markets. I took over looking at the budget revenue and finance for the Hands Across New Jersey days when Governor Florio got elected. That's when I spotted the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report and realized the name of the game. They were promoting a selectively created budget report and holding back the showing of the entire picture by not showing the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, and the budget report was only one-third of the pie, so to say. The other two-thirds was seen on the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. But being that this is educational here, my front page on CAFR1.com, CAFR1.com, you'll see an article that says, well, a very long front page, but there'll be one article that says, hats off to the Texas State Comptroller. That goes to a link for the Texas State Comptroller site where she gives a listing of all investment funds held by the state government, Inc., in the state of Texas. And there's 7,300 and some odd different funds, individual funds. I said hats off to the Texas State Comptroller because she made it very easy to see the specialty investment funds that were being listed for the state. Now, when you look at those funds that are listed within the state, that's strictly state government, Inc. The cities are all separate, counties are all separate, and they all have their own grouping of their own investment funds, their own self-insurance funds. Some are managing their own pension funds, which are strictly participatory, owned by the city and county or school district. And, you know, so when you look at the different items that you're coming across, keep in mind collective totals. You're not looking at any consolidated totals for the entire state. You're looking at state government, Inc., you're looking at a county, you're looking at a city, you're looking at a school district, you're looking at a state university. And when it clicks on your mind as to the collective totals, that's when the light bulb is going to go off as to what the United States has turned into. You know, we were taught in seventh grade, Russia's very bad. Russia owns and controls everything. You know, Russia's bad, but the United States, where the people own and control everything, is good. Well, that's been flipped on its back. And I found out what we were taught in seventh grade was just an illusion to give them the ability to take it all over further than Russia could have ever dreamed of going. You know, if you ever wonder why Gorbachev went democratic, he looked at the structure in the United States and he said, hey, you know, they have more control than we do and they're making 10 times as much. This is all a corporate takeover game. Now, as I mentioned, GFOA, Government Financial Officers Association, which in 1946 started promoting the CAFR accounting structure, total private association. The group that oversees the accounting now on how the report is structured and gives out the policy, rules, and regulations for how the accounting takes place is called GASB, Government Accounting Standards Board. Another nice little government-sounding acronym. 100% private association. One illusion I was under, you know, for decades, you know, when I heard about the Democratic and Republican parties, I always thought that the Democratic and Republican parties in some way, shape, or form were some type of government. They're not. They're 100% private associations. All of these private associations were designed to get access to the vault for direction of money and revenue to their own inside players or own contacts.
Okay. Okay, I want you to repeat that again. Repeat that statement again.
These private associations that were set up since the 40s, you know, going back into the early 40s, were designed to give their players open access to the vault, the public trough, for the benefit of their inside players and their contacts. Had nothing to do with benefiting the public directly. You know, the public was utilized as, oh, we're doing this for your benefit. We're doing this to help you out. Wrong. If you look at who's gotten the money, who has access to the money, how the money is rolled over, it's designed to inflate quite a few pockets with stacks of $100 bills in the easiest, quickest way possible. You know, the democratic principle of, oh, we're supporting all of the people and healthcare and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, the people keep buying it. They hear it and they, oh, well, that sounds good. You know, we should be backing each other and helping each other. Yeah, well, that might be a good thought, but if they look at how the money is allocated, where it's going, like on healthcare, the big debate now, healthcare. Everybody's seeing it nonstop, CNN, ABC, CBS. They're all trying to justify this, you know, these massive expenditures on healthcare, the open vault door policy. Well, what the people are seeing is one side of the coin. What they're not being told, not a peep, not a mention, intentionally, not a peep, not a mention, is all that money, taxpayer revenue, funneling into the pharmacies, the pharmaceutical companies, healthcare industry, the whole nine yards. Well, when you look at who owns the pharmaceutical companies, the healthcare industry, you know, XYZ, all of them. Government came in by investment, buying up all of the pharmaceutical companies, the healthcare, the hospitals. So, in one hand, they use all the taxpayer revenue flooding in, you know, tens of billions, billions of dollars. And on the other hand, they own these companies or operations, and by funneling all the taxpayer revenue in, it guarantees them their own profit. Massive profit. Okay, so you have a conflict of interest that's unequaled, period. You know, everything that, I spotlight the New York State Retirement Fund CAFR on my front page. I'm not picking on them. It's just a nice, large, you know, comprehensive annual finance report for a retirement fund. And I put up a retirement fund because, based on due diligence, it's mandatory to list every investment, when it was acquired, price when acquired, and current market value. So it gives you a very good reference source of how they invest, what they invest in, when they invested, and the current, you know, value of what they invested in. And I always bring to people's attention, when they go down the list, keep in mind, this is just one comprehensive annual financial report. A big one, but, you know, just one. As they go down through the listing of equities, I say, well, when you get to Microsoft, how many shares do you think the New York State Retirement Fund owns in Microsoft? Most people say, don't have a clue. And I said, well, take a guess. So I'm going to tell you, Joyce, take a guess. How many shares do you think they own?
10 million.
44 million.
Whoa.
Okay, and you get down to ExxonMobil. Okay. I'm using 2001's, you know, CAFR, by the way, that's listed there. When you get down to ExxonMobil, what do you think the dollar value is in ownership of ExxonMobil?
Dollar. $1 million.
$1.5
billion. Whoa. No, wait a minute. You're talking about a retirement fund in the state of New York?
The New York State Retirement Fund, CAFR. And by the way, all of these retirement funds that are set up on local governments, the majority, 99%, they're set up as strictly participatory. And what strictly participatory means is, say, for example, you buy a ticket on a train, you got to ride from point A to point B. Well, you hop on a train, you ride from point A to point B, but you don't own one piece of the train. You know, you get to point B and you get off. Well, strictly participatory on local government pension funds means you're buying a ticket. You don't own 1 cent of the fund. So all of the government employees out there, you know, they're under the delusion that, well, this money I'm putting into the pension fund and my city's putting or county or state's putting into the pension fund, we own this money. Wrong. The state, the city, the county owns the principal from that fund. So it's to the local government's advantage to inflate the balance as much as possible, to use false actuarial projections to get a bigger balance, you know, and get more contributions coming in from the employees and the, you know, the employer themselves to justify tax expenditures, because that fund balance, they get it up, you know, like on New York State Retirement Fund, CAFR, you know, $186 billion or so getting up there. 132 to, you know, 150, yeah, I think it is right now. But California, you know, Detroit, Miami, Florida, as they build these funds up, the city, the county, and the state owns that investment pool. The employees don't own one penny. They just bought a ticket to ride. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, I think I do. I mean, but this is so huge an amount of money that I don't think even people can comprehend.
No. I've heard people say that for 10 or 20 years. Oh, but I don't know if people can comprehend. And that's what government boys love to say to the public. Well, this is so complex, you'll never understand it. They hope they never will understand it, yeah.
Yeah.
I bring up the point that each one of us, okay, since we're kids up until we die, you know, if we're 4 years old and we start our first lemonade stand or iced tea stand, you know, we make $4.80 for the day. We sit there and count it 10 times over. We know we made, if it was $4.81, we know it. You know, we get older, maybe start paper out. You know, I made $85 this week. If I push a little harder, get these people, I'll get maybe $115. Okay, we get into college, start investing. You know, we're watching our market fluctuations every 2 minutes as we're flipping the pages to study. You know, we get older, we buy a house, maybe start a few little side projects, you know. We always keep a running total in the back of our minds from when we're little kids up until when we die of cash in pocket, cash in the checking account, what our investments are, and what our net worth is. It's constantly rolling in our minds at all times. Now, government and the boys, the syndicate, due to the money involved, to be able to pull off taking it all over by investment, they had to keep the public 100% oblivious to
That's
the
right.
to the basic comprehension, you know, that we had in each in our own personal lives since we're little kids up until when we die. I don't care if we're Bill Gates or we're the Biafran with 2.5 rice bowls. You know, we always know exactly what we have. In government, they created a total void, a total vacuum of what was important. Cash in hand, total investments, net worth. Never a peep, never mentioned, never discussion, no comprehension. You know, total void, total vacuum maintained. The public sits there off in la-la land, you know, allowing government to grow into this massive structure. You know, do you know Alex Jones?
Oh, yeah.
We did a radio show one time. He goes, Walter, can you qualify this? And I said, picture a 200-pound, picture a 100-pound dog dragging around a 200-pound tick. That's what we allow government to grow into.
I think we can get that visual there. We're going to be right back with Walter Burian after this three-minute break. I really, really appreciate your hanging in there, ladies and gentlemen, when the reception is so bad. But the information, believe me, is worth it. Back in 3 minutes. Stay tuned. Well, that's dedicated to the sheeple out there, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Power Hour. Thank you, Josh. That's a good one. Yeah, that is a good one.
You like that one better.
I like that one a lot better, yeah. That's the American public right there buying into this. Oh, we are so stupid, we can't figure this out. We don't know where the money went. Come on, that was a lot of money to try and track. Well, joining us today is Walter Burian, and he says they are a lot smarter than they want you to think. Well, we were just talking in terms of the hiding of the money, basically, in private funds, ladies and gentlemen, to the tune of billions and probably gazillions of dollars. Now, let me just ask some basic questions here, Walter. And we're talking to Walter Burian. The website, go to today's guest, click on it, CAFR.com.
CAFR1.com.
Standing for the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. Walter, does every state have a comprehensive annual financial report?
Yeah, you'll see most of them on my front page. You'll see a red staples button as you scroll down the page on the right-hand side. It says CAFR Downloads. You know, I put a couple of states, you know, most of the states up there. And I'm from Arizona, so I have the County of Maricopa, City of Tempe, Mesa, Phoenix, and, you know, a few other local governments from Arizona. The key thing, Google is your friend there. If you punch in, say, the school district of Burbank, okay, for Burbank, California, you put that in quotes and then put CAFR. School district of Burbank's CAFR pops up. You put in city of Los Angeles. City of Los Angeles CAFR pops up. You put in county of Los Angeles. County of Los Angeles CAFR pops up. The city of Glendale, Arizona, in quotes, then CAFR, it'll pop up. So, you know, if you use Google and put the name of the entity in quotes and then CAFR after it, in many cases it'll pop up for downloading. So
okay.
the whole game here was not, you know, not making it available. The whole game was never mention it, never discuss it, never talk about it. And that old expression, you know, if the largest tree in the forest fell and no one saw it fall or, you know, heard it fall, did it actually make a sound? You know, that's what they've been doing now for 65 years. The Comprehensive Annual Financial Report was sitting in the library's reference desk of most of the libraries. People never knew to look for it. You know, and keep in mind, this is the holy grail of accounting. It's kind of like walking into the Catholic Church, and if you looked at the priest and said, can I have a copy of the Bible? And he looked back at you and said, Bible? What's that? You know, it's
mm-hmm.
the Holy Grail or
yeah.
the Torah or the Quran. So keep in mind, the only difference here regarding those is that the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report was showing where all of the money was involved. And, you know, when you mention that, you know, government doesn't want to think that make us think that they're stupid. You know, keep in mind, just when you were even a little kid, you know, and your mom's outside, and there's the cookie jar, and you sneak in the cookie jar, and you're sitting there eating the cookies. You hear her come back in the room, you put the lid back on them, and quick, grab a seat by the TV, you know. And she comes in, sees the cookie jar empty. She looks over at you and says, "Were you in the cookie jar?" And you're there. "What are you talking about? I'm sitting here watching TV."
Mm-hmm.
"Why? Is there something wrong with the cookie jar?" You know, that's a little kid's first response, you know, in most of the cases. You know, government, you know, says, "Sir, what are you talking about? I never heard of that." I'm going to jump into an example I gave when I first started National Disclosure. There was a woman from Pennsylvania. She was wealthy.
Okay, hang on to that. We've got a 1 minute, 10 second break. We'll be right back for the woman from Pennsylvania story with our guest today, Walter Burian. We're doing a CAFR 101, and we will open up the phone lines in just a little while for you to find out or to ask your questions to Walter Burian. Stay tuned. Back in 1 minute, 10 seconds. Live. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you so much for joining us. We're talking to Walter Burian today, B-U-R-I-E-N, and the website, C-A-F-R-1, that's the numeral one, C-A-F-R-1.com. He joined us today to help us understand that there's a whole lot of money in private organizations or private funds that they're not quite telling us about. Walter, you said a story about a woman from Pennsylvania.
Right, and we're not talking private funds, we're talking government setting up funds which own private, you know, companies and operations. I mean, government owns it all by investment through their investment funds.
Okay, but thank you for that.
The woman from Pennsylvania, she was a wealthy cattle rancher, and she called me up one day. She goes, "I just told my congressman about this CAFR thing, and he's absolutely furious, and he says he's going to dig to the bottom of it. You know, I paid him, I gave him $260,000 to get him elected, and I've known him for years, and he's going to get something done here." I said, "Oh," he said, "he never heard of it before." She goes, "Yep, but he said he's going to dig into it." I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "I'm going to put you on hold. I just want you to listen. Don't say anything." So I called the mailroom of the Department of Treasury in Pennsylvania, who sent out the CAFR. And on a conference call, and I said, "Has Congressman so-and-so been getting the CAFR?" And she goes, "Yeah." "For how long?"
"Been getting the what? You cut out. Has he been getting the what?"
"The CAFR, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report." She goes, "Yeah, for about 10 years. And I said, "Where did you send it to?" "To his office." She goes, "Yeah, we sent it to his office." And then I loved her for volunteering this information. She goes, "Oh, except for 3 years ago, he was vacationing down in the Bahamas, and he had his aide call us to have it sent to him down there so he wouldn't miss it." Okay. I would have loved to have tape recorded that next call this woman had with her good friend, the congressman, who she gave $260,000 to get him elected.
Whoa.
You know, the bottom line is, you know, this is where the money is. You know, organized crime from the, you know, the 50s, the 60s, the 20s, and the 30s, you know, they kept their own ledgers, their own books for their operations. You know, if they were running a front shop like a bar or, a flower shop or, you know, whatever, you know, they couldn't care less if the public reviewed those records. But whatever they were doing on their organized crime activities, you know, they're not going to give those out for public you know, view and discernment. Government, on the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, you know, this was their acquisition takeover game. It was showing the investments as they grew. It was showing the enterprise operations and the gross income they were bringing in and the investments built up under the enterprise operations. What the public was being given was a selectively created budget report, you know, showing where tax income was spent. So when you look at a budget report, you're seeing almost 100% of where the tax income is brought in and spent. You know, you think government survives on taxation by looking at the budget report. When you look at the annual financial report and start deciphering the gross income, only 1/3 is tax income. 2/3 is the return on investment funds, the enterprise and venture projects, and the public didn't have a clue. Because they weren't being shown it, it wasn't discussed. And I go back to, you know, what's basic and fundamental to each and every one of us when we're kids. until when we die? How much cash do we have in our pocket? What are our total investment funds? What are our net worth? That keeps rolling around in our minds every single day of our lives. Now, I've had thousands of people call me complaining about their state, their school district, their county, some enterprise operation, state university. And I'd be hearing them, you know, rattling out the typical conditioning responses that they were prompted to say. And I would ask each and every one of them, are we going into another break?
Yeah, we're going into another break. We're going to take a 3-minute break. We'll be back with Walter Burian. Now, remember, he just said 1/3 of the money is tax-based. The other 2/3, they don't bother to show you. We'll be right back after this 3-minute break. Stay tuned to the Power Hour. The opinions expressed in this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or sponsors of the radio station, or probably your elected county, state, federal officials. What comprehensive financial report? What are you talking about? Well, we're talking to our guest today, Walter Burian, who says there's a whole lot of money they are not telling you about that the state has. Well, the question is, what are they doing with that money? Now, Walter, I don't know, did you get through the story that you wanted to tell, or did I stop you at a point where we need to continue?
Well, I was just re-emphasizing the point of, from when we're kids until when we get older, we know exactly what our cash in hand is, checking account balance, and our net worth. You know, the comprehensive annual financial report is effectively showing for that local government, keep in mind there's 134,000 plus separate local governments now, what their cash in hand is, their investment totals, and their net worth. So,
okay, we've got a lot of electrical interference. Are you near something or that's causing that interference, because it's getting worse?
No, it sounds pretty clear to me here. And
well, good. Well, that doesn't mean it's clear to us. Though,
well, one thing I was thinking of, being that you said you were having a hard time hearing me, it's real clear on my side. I can hear you fine, and I'm clear on my end. So, you know, I've been recording the show. What I'll do is later on today on my front page, I'll, you know, snip out the commercials, and we'll put up the half hour of discussion.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. I just am getting some electrical feedback, though. Okay. Okay. Let's talk about, though, what this CAFR means, this report. Okay. We go to the website, or we go to Google, and we bring up City of Versailles or County of Morgan, wherever we live, and then we do our searches with CAFR, and we come up with this huge annual financial report. Now, it's the same thing, like you said during the break, as your own bank account. You look at the money, you look at the bottom line, you see what you have. Now, is this to be interpreted, though, as money that they're not telling us about? Is every CAFR report, are they keeping two sets of books, first of all?
No, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report is the book, okay? Now, a budget report is an ancillary book. You know, the budget report is about 1/3 of the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. The Comprehensive Annual Financial Report shows 100%. The budget report shows 1/3 of the gross income. So, you really can't call it two sets of books. You're just, you know, it's the budget report is the inferior book. You know, it's the ancillary, the side issue book. The Comprehensive Annual Financial Report is the book. That's why, you know, as I mentioned, to hold back disclosure of your annual financial report to the entire population of the country, it required the full cooperation of the syndicated media, controlled education, and both political parties, Democratic, Republican side, for not a mention, not a peep, not a word. Okay? And keep in mind, for 65 years. They've done so due to the money involved and what's at stake for the inside players of these private associations. Keep in mind, like I said, the Republican Party, it's a private association. Democratic Party, private association. They have nothing to do with government whatsoever except putting people into government to have full control of the vault. The There's other groups called Association of Mayors, Council of Governors. They're all private associations designed to be able to influence and take over government operations by consult. Okay, and they've been doing so for decades. And as people cooperated with the consult being given from these groups, a lot of people became extraordinarily wealthy as this, you know, the structure expanded. Keep in mind, there's two issues here. Okay, one issue is how much has government taken over at this point? Okay, and how much are they holding? And the other issue is how much has government expanded their operations? Now, I like to use the example of if you had a crack addict, you know, and he was had 3 grams of cocaine he was doing a day, and then he worked his way up to an ounce, you know, a day, and then 5 ounces a day, and he was selling it, and then he gets a couple of kilos, and now he's one of the major distributors for the state, and he has 5 kilos a week coming in. Well, if all of a sudden his supply cut back to 4 kilos a week, and he was there, oh my God, I'm going to go bankrupt, oh, terrible, terrible, I'm only down to 4 kilos. You know, look at government, okay, state level, state level, county level. Look at how much money they were bringing in, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, you know, just for, you know, inflation and population increase. And you'll see that they've been expanding almost 100% every 10 years after accounting for inflation and population increase in many cases. You know, it's the unrestrained growth as the structure was expanded to allow for more inside players to grease more pockets. And the public sits there watching TV, being masterfully entertained, you know, having really no impact whatsoever. Keep in mind, like I said, Democratic Republican Party, total private associations. I get a chuckle, you know, when people say, are you a Democrat or are you a Republican? Oh, I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. And their conditioned response to say I'm something, they don't have a clue what it is. You know, most people, if you polled 99% of the population and asked them, is the Democratic or Republican Party, are they part of government, or are they 100% private associations not having anything to do with government? Well, they're part of government. You know, it's the Democratic and Republican Party. No, they're 100% private associations, which sucks in millions of people to have them under control to make them think that they have some choice in what's happening when they're spoon-fed exactly who they're going to vote for, you know, which are arranged for by the inside top players, you know, to maintain and have full control over the vault, the money, the cash income, and who's going to get what and who's going to get it where. Okay? Nothing complicated. And, you know, it's taken 65 years to build, but here's the bottom line. This is reality. I mean, this is the over, you know, knock you over the head with a baseball bat. When you look at gross income of local and federal government, and then look at the gross income for the population, the gross income, let's use 2006. The gross income for the entire population of this country, Bill Gates, the guy working at McDonald's, the government worker, the, you know, the private sector worker, was approximately $10 trillion for the year. Total gross income, investment income, the whole nine yards. Government, local and federal, total gross income, about $14 trillion.
Interesting.
You know, so here you have the gross income for the entire population. And keep in mind, taxation is pulled right off of the population's income. Property tax, income tax, sales tax, you know, vehicle registration tax. You know, so that $10 trillion that the population brought in, about three-point-something trillion is taken right off the top in taxation. Okay? And so here you have government with almost twice the gross income over the population net after taxation. And I go back to the statement of, you know, Russia's wild dream of the 40s. You know, the U.S. government has created a structure where they have gradually taken over everything. If you look at, go back to the New York State Retirement Fund cover, you know, it lists all the equities, domestic and international, but then you get below the equities and it'll show real estate projects, cash loans, other investments. You'll notice, you know, shopping mall A, shopping mall C, condominium complex C, you know, townhome complex D. Yeah, they're these shopping malls and townhome and apartment complexes, which you thought were owned by the private sector, when you look, you'll see, no, they're owned by different, the county, the city, the state, by investment. They'll front up private, management groups handling these complexes, but if you actually check into the ownership by investment, city, county, state, when you get down to real estate, one thing that blew me away when I was looking through the federal calls theirs the federal consolidated financial statement instead of comprehensive. It's the consolidated financial statement. But in the notes section, it showed land stewardship on, how much land is owned by federal and local governments compared to privately owned. And between federal and local, they owned 87% of all the land masses in the United States, from Alaska to Hawaii to the continental United States.
Whoa, that's amazing.
It was like a 12 to 14% that was in the private sector's hands. People talk about gold, and what's in Fort Knox. Well, if you take a look on the notes section, also in the Federal Consolidated Financial Statement, it shows that in 1964, we pledged the gold from Fort Knox to the Federal Reserve at a statutory price of, I think it was $34 an ounce. So the Federal Reserve owns, the gold that was on deposit in Fort Knox. Pledged by the U.S. Treasury for their job in supporting the dollar. Now, the dollar, the way they did it as a fiat currency, in other words, it's just paper, not backed up by any silver, gold, and so forth, was actually a brilliant move on their part because they wanted to have this massive expansion and conquest game, And to do so, they needed a currency that had the ability for unlimited growth. Well, if they backed the currency with gold and silver, there's not enough gold and silver to back the intrinsic value of the United States, so that wasn't going to work. So they used the fiat currency. They had the Federal Reserve there to maintain the value of the currency based on how much they put in circulation or took out of circulation.
What a wicked web we weave, ladies, bottom of the hour, for Walter Burian, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, CAFR1. .com. Check it out. Back in four. Stay tuned. About a major fraud being perpetrated on the American public by telling them they don't have any money when they really do. So the purpose of all of this, we talk in terms of what the CAFR is, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report is, what it includes, where you can find it, all the information on it, but what does this mean? To the average person, are we going to say this means that they're just not telling us that they have a lot of money? Or are they secretly... I mean, let's take the example of the state of California. Is Schwarzenegger doing just fine? He's just letting us think that they have a problem out there?
Well, he says he's short $28 billion. Okay, now $28 billion may sound like a lot of money, but it's pocket change on pocket change compared to what the state of California owns in liquid investment assets based on their state, city, county, and so forth operations. Now, the state government, Inc., just state government, as I mentioned, they're their own separate corporate entity. Probably they're somewhere up around $4-4.5 trillion in total liquid investment assets from thousands of different specialty funds and, as I mentioned, the pension funds and the whole nine yards. And if you included all local governments in California with state government, the cities, the counties, the school districts, the enterprise operations, liquid investment assets within California owned by local government, somewhere between probably 11, 12, 13 trillion total. And when you talk about $28 billion, that's, a grain of sand on the beach. So, if they wanted to actually, in reality, solve any budget shortfalls, they could say, well, we have 10,000-plus specialty investment funds. What would be an equal percentage, drawn from all of them to equal all of our shortfalls? 1%, 0.25%, 0.5%? Nothing complicated. The public has only given one side of the coin. They're constantly hearing debt, 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 debt. You never hear about, what's the total investment funds held by the state? What's the total gross income brought in by the state? not tax income, gross income from all sources. Never peep, never mention, never word, because it's too damn condemning. So when you talk about budget shortfalls, you know, I've given the example when I first started National Disclosure. If you had a budget for operating your house, say at $30,000 a year, you know, which equated to your mortgage payment, your electric bill, your gas bill, the food bill for the fridge, you know, whatever. $30,000. If you spent $35,000, you'd have a $5,000 budget shortfall, and if you spent $25,000, you'd have a $5,000 budget surplus. Well, the budget for your operating your house is totally different than your gross income and your, you know, total operations. You know, if you had a, say, one job that paid $35,000 a year, you know, you say your gross income is $35,000, your budget was $30,000, so they're pretty close. But if you had one job, three different operations that you ran private businesses, and your gross income was, say, $450,000 a year, and you had been investing for 20 or 30 years, and you had a market portfolio of $4 million, well, just to talk about your $30,000 a year budget, you know, and you applying $30,000 a year to meet your budget is highly misrepresentative of, you know, the true picture. Now, I'll make a very important note here. Government constantly promotes debt. Oh, we're so much in debt. We have to have this bond issuance. We're going to be paying off for it for 20 years. This is all promotion, folks. You know, everyone's heard of Enron. Enron promoted their profits and hid their debt. Government does the exact opposite. They promote their debt and hide their profit. Okay, for good reason, due to the scope and size of it all. But a lot of times when they have a bond issuance, you know, they'll be promoting this debt at the front door, you know, for the public to approve this bond issuance and then pay back, you know, a small interest rate, you know, until the bonds are paid off. But what they're doing is through the back door, they'll use their own investment funds to fund their own bond issuance. Okay, so in other words, they suck the public into approving this new, you know, bond issuance. They use their own cash and investments to fund their own bond issuance, thus locking the public into repayment and building up a power base for themselves for over the years.
Okay, we've got a three-minute break. We're going to come back, and we're going to take your phone calls. If you have any questions, if you need something clarified or you're not clear on, you know, what this is all about, we've got our guest, Walter Burian, the expert on the CAFR, Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, brainwashed, mind controlled, lied to, and lied to again. Well, joining us today is Walter Burian, who is exposing more of the information that we just never really knew about because they never really wanted us to know about. Before I go to your calls right now, I want to ask Walter Burian, now, why is the state of California playing this charade then of, oh, we're out of money, we've got to let all the prisoners go, and no more educational funds, and the children and the old people will suffer? Why do they
it's
do
all,
that?
It's
why
all, it's
is,
all,
why
it's
does
all
that
psycho-
charade
it's,
take place,
it,
Walter?
It's all psychology. It's a very good psychological ploy. If, you know, say, for example, you had a neighbor on your right side, Dave, and another neighbor on the left side, you know, Kevin. Dave comes knocking on your door. Oh, I just lost my job, and you think I might be able to borrow a couple $100? I got to make my mortgage payment. You're there. Okay. Right? And then Kevin on the left knocks on your door. Hey, we're going to Zurich in my citizen citation, too, with Willie Nelson and Mel Gibson. Do you want to come? You're there. Sure. Right? You get back from your trip, and, you know, Dave knocks on your door again. Oh, my wife's sick and in the hospital, and can I borrow another $1,500? And you're there. Okay. Right, and then Kevin knocks on your door again. Hey, we're going over to Munich for the Oktoberfest with a couple of celebrities and the Dallas Cowboys cheerleading squad. Do you want to come? And you're there. Sure. Right. Right. So you come back from your, you know, vacation. You know, this trip. You cringe at the thought of Dave knocking on your door. Right, but you're watching every single move Kevin makes. You're just waiting for him to knock on your door. Okay, well, government plays very good Daves, even though they have a net worth of a million Kevins. Okay? When you start looking at reality of the gross income of what your city, your county, your state's bringing in, which they'll never mention, they'll never talk about, and they'll never discuss, and they haven't for 65 years, 70 years, you know, and you look, you'll say, oh, my God. You know, when you look at the gross income, and then you say, you start seeing the investment funds, and you say, how many do they got here? What are the totals there? And you start tracking down the self-insurance funds, the pension funds, the bond repayment accounts, the funding of their own debt. You'll be there, oh, my God. And then you realize you're just looking at the city, and what about the county? What about the state? You know, hey, we got school districts, enterprise operations. You realize when you start adding up the totals, the entire private sector is insignificant compared to the composite wealth, collective wealth now amassed by government. Now, going back to the Federal Reserve, this is very important. I got cut off on a commercial in the last time, and it's very important. The Federal Reserve putting out a very small percentage of dollars based on intrinsic value, less than 1%. You know, as the dollars went out, the dollar is a zero-based currency. For every dollar that goes out, 100% of it is funneled back in through taxation. Government takes it all back in. And as they did so, they continually expanded the base of the dollar and the computer entries on the dollar, building the ability to take over more and more and more. So as these dollars were funneled right back into government, you know, government would put aside 10% each year or 8% each year, buy up corporations, insurance companies, banks through equity participation, right? And as the decades came by, government took it all over. They took over the banks. The number one investor with the banks is not the private sector, it's government. The number one investor with the insurance companies, it's not the private sector, it's government. Okay? All of those private mortgages out there, the number one investor, not the private sector, it's government. Now, people are familiar with, you know, federal, you know, VA, Ginnie Mae, Freddie Mae, Fannie Mae, you know, the government loans, but I'll go back to that New York State Retirement Fund CAFR or other pension fund CAFRs, where it shows, I mentioned pension fund CAFRs because they're the only ones that will show the individual investments out of due diligence. You look at a state or a city or a county, they won't list their individual investments. They keep that in their back pocket under wraps. They don't want anyone to know about it because then you start seeing, you know, whose project they're funding and what buddy is getting his corporation guaranteed by the funds. But the pension funds out of due diligence list the individual investments. So, you know, look carefully at these. Now,
okay.
Composite
ownership.
I
need to go to the callers. So let's summarize this, and let me go to the callers that are all backed up. Walter?
Yeah. I thought you were saying let's go. Well, the bottom line is the Federal Reserve did an excellent job creating this unlimited expansion in the dollar, allowing government to take it all over one bit at a time over the last 60, 70 years.
Now, it's been brilliant.
Yeah, and they've done it. Now, people that say, going back to the gold and the silver standard, you know, it's kind of like putting the gun in your mouth and pulling the trigger because there's not enough gold and silver to equal the intrinsic value of the, you know, wealth in the United States. So if you went back to strictly gold and silver, you know, gold and silver, you know, gold would shoot through to $3,000 and $6,000 an ounce, but the entire population of this country would lose 85% of their value, you know, as you made the conversion into gold and silver. So I've always recommended a commodity index of multiple things, including a land index, gold, silver, copper, even grains, and so forth, where we have the intrinsic value, and there you could back the dollar with a commodity index and, you know, not have a problem. Strictly gold and silver, you'd be killed. Yeah.
Let me go to some callers here that desperately want to talk to you. Let's go to John in the Rocky Mountains. John, you're on the air with Walter Burian. Go ahead, please. Question or comment?
Good morning, Joyce and Walter. Yes, it is. Comment and a question. I left the city on the West Coast to go to another city in the Rocky Mountains, and I think one of the reasons I was hired was not many mid-level executives know what the CAFR is. And when I asked the city manager in our interview how they were doing in relation to their CAFR but not the budget, he was quite impressed. Now, the city that I left ran a $100 million budget deficit. Now, whether or not we're running budget deficits or not is kind of irrelevant because the cities operate on a budget in terms of who they hire, who they terminate, who they lay off. And so that was my worry, was the possibility of layoffs. Can a city run budget indefinitely, like $100 million? And I guess what I'm getting at is, can their CAFR be in trouble where they don't have enough spread between their budget and their CAFR? I'll listen off there.
Okay. Thank you very much for the phone call. Your response?
Well, the key point there is when you have the when you're looking at the CAFR, you have to look at what they're claiming as a liability, okay? They can use actuarial projections to say we need X amount of dollars, you know, like 10X, when in reality they only need 1X or 2X. And so they're inflating in that factor of 8X into the actual real figure. On the budget side, when they run a $100 million shortfall, you have to look at what the gross income is on the CAFR. So if they have a $300 million surplus on total operations on the CAFR, $100 million shortfall on the budgetary side, you know, if you counterbalanced them, a $300 million plus and $100 million negative, that leaves you still with a $200 million plus. Okay? The third factor is growth. Government has been expanding each and every year for the last 30, 40, 50 years, since the 60s. They've been massive expansion. So if you said, okay, well, if I cut back 10% of government, what does that equate to in dollar value? Not 10% of what they systematically give you, like, well, we're going to cut back the school teachers and we're going to close the little old ladies' home. Look at the whole picture, not the promoted little psychological pressure points that are being thrown at you.
Yeah,
they're treating you as a total idiot by doing that.
Yeah,
you know, like, we're going to release all the prisoners.
All right, we got to let all the prisoners go, and they're going to come and molest your daughters, and we're sorry, but, you know, we got to save some money. Let me go to Bill in Pennsylvania. Bill, you're on the air with Walter Burian. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Walt, did I hear you at one time say that in New Jersey that there was so much income coming into this thing that the people would have to pay no property taxes, and the tuitions in the schools would be all free?
If you looked at gross income of the state, including the cities and counties and so forth in New Jersey, and you took just simply the liquid investment funds held by the state, the city, the counties, the school districts, enterprise operations, and New Jersey was a public corporation, in other words, they had shares and everybody was an equal stockholder in the state, the value, individual value, of your shares for every man, woman, and child in the state would be somewhere around $600,000 each. Okay, or a family of five, multiply that times six. You know, but the public, you know, in New Jersey is being taxed the strong, more so than any other state in the country, because you have the definition of syndicated organized crime running government. Due to the money involved, the public is masterfully entertained, squeezed at every turn of the page, and these guys inflate their pockets and laugh all the way down to the bank as the public sits there scratching their head saying, there's something wrong here, but I just can't figure it out. Well, what's wrong there is we allow government to take it all over by investment, by income, and the whole nine yards. And they're all run by attorneys. 80% of the governors, the senators, the congressmen, they're all attorneys now. And look at the reputations attorneys have. They will bleed you dry, take everything you have, and expect you to say thank you. Are there any questions?
If I was a politician, how does that money get into my pocket? Could you give us an example of that?
Well, that's very simple. The bottom line is, are you having your projects backed? Say, for example, you and I are congressmen, okay? And we find out that this guy, this old-timer died in Australia, in Sydney. He had 700 acres on the beach, of beachfront property. And his kids, who, you know, live in New Zealand, just want to sell it off at public auction. We can buy it for pennies on the dollar. And we need $45, $55 million to buy the property and build a condominium complex on the beach. We approached one of the fund managers out of hundreds, if not thousands, of separate little funds. Can you back our project? And he goes, sure, you're going to have to prepare a prospectus and, you know, approve it. In fact, here's a couple of prospectuses along the same line of what you want to do that we approved last year. He gives us the blueprint. We draft our prospectus. And to make sure that we're not seen because there's conflicts of interest. And, you know, you really can't have a senator or a congressman or a judge or a city attorney or a county board of supervisor pitching, you know, the fund managers to get their projects back. That's a conflict of interest. You know, so what we do is we set up a little company called New Zealand Coastal Properties, Inc., and we have our two accountants listed as the CEO and treasurer. We don't have our name tied into the company, and we have a deal under the table, you know, with the two accountants, at, you know, for 100% ownership, and we pay them, you know. So deals like that are cut 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And another important point on governments, you know, they've been promoting debt, and what they've been doing is they've been funding their own debt through the back door. A good example on a personal level is, say, for example, you had $5 million in cash and you wanted to hide it. You called me up and you said, Walter, I'm going to send you $5 million in cash. I want you to start a mortgage company. I'm going to buy a $5 million property, and I want you to underwrite my mortgage and charge me the highest interest rate you can. So you give me $5 million in cash, I start a mortgage company, you buy a $5 million property, and, you know, I underwrite your mortgage for that property, and I charge a 16% interest. You now go around to all your friends, family, neighbors, business associates, oh my God, that $5 million mortgage is killing me, and they're charging me 16% interest, oh, I don't know if I'm going to survive. Well, when you forget to mention it's your $5 million, and you're collecting the 16% interest through me, slight tad bit of misrepresentation there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Let me, thank you very much, Bill, for the phone call in Pennsylvania. Let me move on to Rhonda in Montana. Rhonda, you're on the air with Walter Burian. I really want to get through these phone calls. Go ahead, Rhonda.
Good morning.
Morning.
Well, since these government agencies are corporations, are they paying corporate taxes?
No, they've made themselves exempt. Even the enterprise operations, they made themselves exempt. If they were paying corporate taxes, you know, they'd be paying more than probably the private sector, you know, corporations. On my website, I'll go back to that red staples button. As you scroll down about halfway through down the page, you'll see in the listing of articles the red staples button that'll say CAFR downloads on it. Click on that. I list alphabetically. You'll see the states, but when you get down to F, you'll see, you know, the audit of the Federal Reserve, the audit of the IRS, the audit of, bank derivative holdings, bank mortgage holdings. When you get down by Utah, you'll see U.S. Treasury. Click on that. That's the audit of the banks on the derivatives and the mortgage holdings. But start looking at these reports. You know, people have been saying, I've been hearing in the Patriot community, oh, we got to audit the Federal Reserve, the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve has been audited for 96 years, okay? They put out their own annual financial report each and every year, which is a complete audit, you know, within the guidelines of what they put forward, and it's checked off on by the Government Accounting Office, okay? When they're saying audit the Federal Reserve, they're saying, you know, we want extra details provided. Not that they're not audited, they are. In fact, you can look at the audit of the Federal Reserve by clicking on that directory to download it. I have 2008, 2007, 2006 audit of the Federal Reserve up there. I have the audit of the IRS. Look at the audit of the IRS. You got that shows the total gross income of the corporations, okay, and the total gross income of the population. And I note, you know, the population, you know, 26% of their gross income went to the IRS. Look at the corporations. They pay virtually nothing because it shows their net payments after their deductions. And the corporations are paying less than 0.5%, 0.2%. The highest figure I saw for the corporations was like 1.5%. You know, so the you know, even the public corporations are paying virtually nothing. The government corporations are paying zero. The private sector, it's all put on the shoulders of the private sector. The private sector is a resource to be managed and drained. Now, here's a very key point. About 6 months ago, I launched a site called TaxRetirement.com. It's linked on my front page.
Okay, say that again. Tax what?
TaxRetirement.com. A link is on my front page. And what I did was, on CAFR 1, you know, my first website, I spent 10 years on disclosure. The remedy was taxretirement.com. What I brought forward was how to phase out all taxation in every venue across the country.
That is so un-American. I cannot believe that you would even say that, Walter.
I want to return the ownership back to the public.
Taxation. Now, why is it some states don't need a state tax? We're going to be right back. Final segment with Walter Burian after this 3-minute break. Stay tuned to the Power Hour. Supporting them and supporting the Power Hour. We're talking to Walter Burian right now. We got a lot of callers, and I'm afraid we're not going to be able to get to them today. They all want to talk to Walter. And let me go to Doris in Kansas. Doris, quickly, what's your question or comment for Walter Burian?
Hello. I'll try to make this real fast. There's 2 points. You know, people wondered why the president could appoint the CEO of GM, and the fact that Halliburton gets all of the contracts without any fuss. Now, could it be that the United States owns more than 50% of the stock?
No, more than 50%. That's 100% correct. They own Halliburton. They own the oil companies. They own the pharmaceutical companies, and they pump in all the contracts and determine their policy to guarantee themselves their own profits.
Boy, congratulations, Doris. You're thinking way outside the cage. That is excellent.
And Joyce, in 98, when we lived in Missouri, our representative, we told them about this after I heard Walter Burian. He found the comprehensive annual report, and he let us look at it, and there was an awfully lot of money in Missouri.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much for the phone call, Doris. Really, that's good thoughts.
Quick notation for Doris. Missouri funds almost 100% of their own debt. So in other words, those bond issuances and all those things they're paying back with taxpayer revenue, they're using their own insurance, their own investment funds to fund that debt. So the public's actually paying back their own money.
Interesting. Missouri's in good shape. Tom in Arizona, you're on the air with Walter Burian. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I don't know if you know who Howard Freeman is, but he said it years ago, the government has now become in the class of big business and is competing against a lot, and owns a lot of these companies out of there. And it's totally corrupt. And when do we put our feet down on this stuff?
Well, if we exported 100% of the attorneys in this country, moved them to China, well, now China is going to have a real headache, but 100% of the problems would be solved in the United States. Every one of these takeovers, every one of these deals were drafted up by attorneys. They all maintain them. They all enforce them. They create their own laws to do what they're doing. It's allowing the foxes to write the laws on how many hens to eat from the hen house. And one of the biggest things you have to look at is do not elect attorneys. I mean,
That's right. Walter Burian, thank you so much for joining us today. We're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us in the Power Hour. This has been amazing. I'm sorry for the interference, but it was well worth it. Tomorrow, you're going to be hearing from Pastor Butch Paul, and I thank you so much for supporting the Power Hour, ladies and gentlemen. Stand up, stretch those legs, and scream from the bottom of your souls and the top of your lungs. We will not stop. Have a blessed day. Have a wonderful Sabbath. And we hope that you all have an enlightening experience and get busy. We'll see you on Monday. Have a blessed day.